Congratulations to Brian Wood. He is our qualifier this morning for the chance to go to Bristol, Connecticut to tour the ESPN headquarters. And the correct answer was Chris Berman. So congratulations, Brian Wood. As we get ready for the Titans and Jaguars on Sunday, we welcome in Mike DiRocco of ESPN NFL Nation, covers the Jacksonville Jaguars as we go behind enemy lines here on a Thursday. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Mike, I saw a stat yesterday that Blake Bortles is 4-0 and the Jaguars score 30-plus a game in the absence of Leonard Fournette. I found that to be very surprising. Does that come off as a surprise to you?
Oh, absolutely. I actually had our ESPN stats group take a deep look at that, too. And, you know, I think it's his touchdown-interception ratio is 17-14 with Fournette, 9-1 without him. I mean, it's unbelievable. I think it's a little bit of a statistical anomaly, but Bortles did admit yesterday that, hey, look, when Leonard's not in there, throwing the ball is a much bigger part of the game plan. So I think that opens the offense up a little bit, makes it a little bit more, a little harder to defend. But that doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that over the long haul, they're a better team without Fournette. I think that that's not what that shows, though.
How long... Did you see the Jalen Ramsey personification development take place in real time? I mean, we obviously know him here in high school in Nashville, but did you notice this? Have you sort of watched it progress, and how long have you known that this guy could sort of explode into this big personality that he is today?
Well, we saw a little bit of it his rookie year when he went at it with Steve Smith after the game and was ripping Steve Smith, and you know, that was sort of a little bit of a whoa. I mean, this is a young kid, and yeah, he's got a ton of talent, and we think he's going to be really, really good, but that's Steve Smith, and, you know, I would kind of think twice about messing with that guy. But, you know, it's sort of – he's always had that confidence. I think you guys know he's always been a real confident guy. Just hasn't been as vocal, but as the team became more successful last year, I think it brought him out of his shell. Because if you remember, his rookie year – and, you know, he was on the sideline crying at the end of that Lions game because he just, you know, the cameras caught him crying and saying, I'm just so tired of losing. And I think once they started winning, it really kind of helped this team or helped him become the person, the vocal, even more vocal guy that he is now.
Yeah, because this is a guy that wasn't used to losing. I mean, he won in high school. He won in college, and then he gets to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and all of a sudden, you know, he's experiencing something that he hasn't experienced before. But now, like you said, this team has put everything together, and if not the best team in the NFL, they are definitely the second best. Looking at – because I think a lot of this, when you're talking to Jacksonville Jaguars, I think a lot of this, some of it, you know, bulk of it, yeah, is the defense. But I think a lot of it is what Blake Bortles – has been able to do the last year and a half close to 2 years now with this team. Ever since, you know, they've gotten Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone was named the head coach, it seems that Blake Bortles has bought into whatever they're preaching there in Jacksonville now, whereas under the last regime, he didn't buy – either he didn't buy into it or they were putting too much on him at such an early – time in his career. Has it seemed to you that he's truly bought into, you know, what Tom Coughlin has brought in and what Doug Marrone has brought in as far as from a schematic standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is his personality, too, is sort of he doesn't care about, you know, the accolades. He doesn't care about the criticism. All he wants to do is win, and he's fine with, you know, if that means this week against the Titans turning around and handing it off 47 times, he's completely fine with that. And if it means next week against the Jets throwing it 57 times, he's fine. He just wants to win. He'll do whatever. He just doesn't care about the stats or the accolades or anything. And I think that's partly because of what he went through and what everyone else went through from, you know, 14, 15, 16, how terrible it was here. But I do think that Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, deserves a lot of credit as well because, you know, we had Jed Fish his first year, Greg Olsen his year and a half, and now he's finally got the stability with Nathaniel Hackett. This is his second full season going into with Hackett running the offense. They really have a good relationship. Hackett is a smart guy,
understands what Blake really does, has a really good understanding of what Blake does well, what Blake doesn't like, what Blake doesn't do well. And they've really tailored that passing game to kind of fit him a little bit. And I think as he's gained confidence, you know, that obviously helps you play better. Anytime you're playing with more confidence, you're going to play better. So I think all of that comes together. And look, the winning helps. When you're winning, everything feels good. So even if you only throw 7 passes in a game, you won the game, that feels good, because they all remember Bortles, Ramsey, Telvin Smith, all those guys remember what it was like to not win, and not only to not win, to get your teeth kicked in every week. So I think all that together has sort of kind of helped Blake make the growth over the last year and a half to where he's not making those mistakes. He's not turning the ball over as much. He's not putting the team in bad situations.
How much credit from a 10,000-foot view of this turnaround for Jacksonville goes to Doug Marrone, and how much goes to Tom Coughlin?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because last year everybody always said, hey, the Coughlin's here, and that's the reason for the turnaround. And I was always a little bit cautious. I was, you know, like, hey, some of this stuff belongs on Doug Marrone's shoulders. And for Marrone, having Coughlin there is a huge advantage. They get along. They both are the same philosophically. He's got a mentor. He's got a guy he can turn to for advice, not only about schemes and, but you know, how to handle a situation with a team, how to run a team, that kind of stuff. But you know, a lot of the things that people gave Coughlin credit for were actually Doug Marrone's things. You know, rearranging the locker room so it wasn't position groups anymore. That was Marrone. Taking the ping pong table out of the locker room. That was Doug Marrone, not Tom Coughlin. Everyone thought that was Coughlin, but it was Marrone. So he, to me, Coughlin is a little bit more in the background than people outside may think. So Marrone deserves a lot of the credit, and he's done a very good job on game day. I think with the exception of that AFC championship game, where I think that they got too conservative at the end of the first half, too conservative in the second half, I think that they've done a really good job on game day being aggressive and coaching this team and giving them chances to win, putting them in a chance to win. And Marrone deserves as much or more credit than Coughlin does, in my opinion.
Mike, final question for me. When here in Nashville we're dealing with injuries to our tackles and Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin, the Jaguars were dealt a blow this past week as you lost Cam Robinson, starting left tackle out of Alabama. How do the Jaguars fill that void, and do they change any of their scheme and their philosophy offensively losing that guy at left tackle?
Yeah, it's going to be Josh Wells, who's a fourth-year player, an undrafted guy that they've had on the roster for a while. Yeah, they're going to have to give him some help. They're going to have to chip with the backs. They're going to have to put a tight end over there every once in a while, maybe a little bit more than normal. You know, he played okay last week. There were some plays where he was beat badly, but there were some other plays where he more than held his own. And he really struggled in the preseason, but seems to have settled down. Clearly not the same level of Cam Robinson, although Robinson was not playing at an extremely high level, you know, so far this year. But that's going to be an issue for them going forward. They're going to have to give him some help. And you know, especially against better pass rushers, you know, like what we're going to see this weekend.
Mike, good stuff. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Derek, I did want to say something really quick if you're still there. I was writing a story about the Jaguars and the Titans rivalry, and I was going back over that 99 AFC championship game, and I forgot that you had returned that kick for a touchdown after the safety. That was a real turning point in that game. I completely forgot about that. So I'm glad I got a chance to, you know, chat with you today. Just to, you know, I just saw that yesterday when I was doing the research.
Derek, give him a comment. Give him a comment on the record here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad you remember, because the Titans don't. the organization here don't now, but wow. I'm glad you do and acknowledges it. I really do appreciate it. No, that was, and you know, funny part about it is that I was just watching it because somebody sent it to me, like just the whole game, but they sent it in like a 10-minute, you know, clip, but the whole game. And how that game went kind of back and forth, I didn't realize that we had as many turnovers as we got as many turnovers as we did against that Jacksonville team. We had like four or five turnovers somewhere around there, and I didn't even realize that. But that was a hard-fought game until we got the safety by Josh Evans, and then they kicked the ball off the free kick, and I ended up returning it for a touchdown. That kind of, both of those plays kind of broke open the game.
3-0 against the team.
Yeah, beat them all three times, and then Jeff Fisher the next week, made the comment about it felt sort of like their second home stadium. And Jaguar fans hate him ever since. It's unbelievable how much they and you'd think they would hate you, but Fisher let you off the hook.
Yeah, it did.
Well, and there's some Titans fans that don't like Jeff Fisher all that much.
Yeah.
Right
now.
Good stuff, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. You got it. So somebody sent you highlights, and you were watching that.
Yeah.
Said I was watching the AFC Championship game with the Jags. I thought you were talking about last year with the Patriots.
No.
I didn't know you were watching 99.
Yeah, 99. Because somebody sent it to me, and they sent it like in a just like a 10-minute little clip, but it connected all the highlight plays of both teams.
How often do you watch highlights of yourself?
Not much. Honestly, I really don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Because if I was you,
I really don't.
I'm telling you.
I don't know if I completely believe that.
I watch it every day.
I don't.
But is
it
narcissistic to do that, or is it just like reliving your glory? Like, is it? I don't know. I feel like it's not that narcissistic, actually.
To have the career he had is like it was winning Powerball. I'd watch that thing every stinking day.
I will tell you the funniest moment that I have ever had with Derek Mason. It was 3D. We were at the arena, and Darren and Willie came up with the topic of what is one game that just you have not watched since it happened because it just was too painful for you that you would go back and watch. Well, he brings up the 2000.
No, Willie did. No. Darren brought it up.
Okay,
well,
Darren brings up the go back and watch the 2000 game against the Ravens in the playoffs. Well, he brings it up during the show, and you just hear the what? What is he doing?
Yeah,
ow!
I was there for that game too.
I was in tears. I was laughing so hard.
I could see Ray Lewis.
That's probably the worst thing you suggested since we've been friends.
Now you were on the
for therapeutic reasons to go watch that game. Seriously,
but no, you were on the field for the Ray Lewis. Were you on the field?
Yeah,
for the Ray Lewis.
Could
you see it from where you were?
Yeah.
Were you on the other side of the field?
No, no, I saw it. It was there. You could see it on the screen.
That is something I like as a visual memory of like where it happened on the field. Like on the wasn't it like on the 20-yard line? The return wasn't that long,
30
right?
or 40-yard return, somewhere around there.
I just remember Ray Lewis scooping it and just being like,
then a field goal kicker missed. All right, let's go to break.
Coming up next, why one college program can learn about accountability from an NBA franchise. That's next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.